Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you again this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us today on this eighth day of June 2005. Currently, it's about 68 degrees in the upstate, 68 degrees at Greenville, 68 degrees at the airport, 70 degrees at Clemson and in Anderson. Going to get up to the mid-80s today with a chance of a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy this morning and some patchy fog as well. And there is even a chance of showers throughout the day. Not a great chance, but it's possible to get a little bit of precipitation. Winds are going to be about 5 to 10 miles per hour. So as you're making your way out to work, there's your weather forecast for the morning. Glad you joined us here on the show. Yesterday had a rather exciting show, lots of callers and lots of conversation about George Bush's escapades and about the income tax, and I was glad we could discuss those very important issues yesterday. We had a one of the things I did do yesterday morning was respond to Corey Burnell's email or conversation about George W. Bush and about godly presidents and so forth and statesmen. And remember, I made a comment yesterday. Look, Daniel 4:17 says that God sets over the state the basest of men or the lowest of men. In fact, if we want to get our Bibles out, I may just go ahead and flip to that that verse myself. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17 indicates something about the nature of state leaders. Now, it's not the same as government leaders. I'm going to make that point again real clearly in a minute. But Daniel 4:17, the last half of the verse, says, "In order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest," or the King James says, "the basest of men." I'm reading from the New King James Version this morning. But at any rate, you find that the Lord sets over states the basest of men. So my question was, when do you know in history any time where we've actually had godly people running states? And I challenged Corey and anyone else to think about this a bit and say, we really haven't had a time when godly men have ruled states. Now, we're not talking about the founding fathers here. The founding fathers wanted to start something called a limited government, a constitutional republic, and there is a difference between a government and a state. A government that's set up in the vision of the founding fathers is something that is utilized by people for collective defense, to provide for the common defense, to promote the general welfare. In other words, things that we could not do on our own, we could not do on our own well. We couldn't defend ourselves individually against an attack from England or China or whatever. We provide for a common defense and we band together to make sure that the proverbial wagon trains are circled so that we don't have to, you know, a problem with the Indians. That's the main reason you have the state. The other would be criminal justice and protecting us from domestic predators, including perhaps, at least to some extent, a police force. And we might throw into the mix now protection against infectious disease that would come in and spread like a plague and wipe people out, another kind of predator enemy. Those things comprise a government, and insofar as we have people who can be in charge of that and running that, there's no question in my mind there have been godly people who have tried to set those things up and have tried to run those kinds of institutions. A state is something completely different. A state goes a step way beyond that. Not only does it manipulate those processes, but it creates a proactive and inefficient provision arm of government. That is where government takes a philosophical bent upon itself to either control people's behavior as Big Brother, telling people what they should and shouldn't do, or to redistribute wealth, you know, like a Robin Hood role where you rob from one class and give to another. These things make it a state. It also, a state also is characterized by wanting to help business, for instance, or promote public works projects like dam building or railroad building, these kinds of activities, things that create work schemes for people, so people can get jobs through the government. These are all proactive aspects of the state. In addition, states will do their best to make public enterprises out of private industries, whether it's the post office, any kind of mail delivery or package delivery, or inspection services of buildings or other things, you know, licensing, grading and quality service, certification services. These things can be provided by a private market. So once people in the political apparatus start doing this, they transform themselves into a state. Another thing that states do is promote science. Anyway, the list could go on, but these are more activist roles. These are go beyond the role of government, and I'm borrowing this distinction from Albert J. Nock in his famous work, Our Enemy, the State, and elsewhere. He makes that distinction, a great important distinction between states and government. Well, having said that, I want to read Corey's response yesterday. It's a good response, and it's longer here. I want to talk about this a little bit. He says, "Hi, John. I'm backlogged with email, so I can't." That's probably because Christian Exit is such a popular movement. Glad that it is. Glad that things are going well with it. He says, "I can't go into much detail or do any research, but I just had a couple of examples of godly. Leaders would be King David, a man after God's own heart, and George Washington. Mind you, I did not say they were sinless, but by scriptural standards, they were regarded as godly. You know the history and lives of these two men better than I, so I need not educate you on their godliness." And he's written more here, but I want to stop and comment on these two things. First of all, King David was clearly a man after God's own heart and a godly man. And although he didn't always do good things as a government leader, especially if your name was Uriah, you would really have suffered under King David. But on the other hand, we have to grant, as Corey said, he was a godly man, because that's what the scripture says. However, he reigned in an era that, as far as I'm concerned, is a non-repeatable part of history. The theocracy of Israel, you certainly did have half of the kings, not just David, but half of the kings of Judah would have been considered godly leaders in the theocracy. None of the kings of the northern kingdom of Israel were good. In fact, they were all very wicked. But you're right, in the theocracy, Corey, of Israel, you did have an example. And I think it's a non-repeatable event, and therefore it's really a moot point insofar as our reality is concerned and what we might expect for the future. Now, I know there's some theonomists there who believe that we can repeat the theocracy, actually install it in the post-millennial age. But until the post-millennial age comes, the golden age, it's not going to occur either for them. So I'll leave that one to rest as a given. George Washington was a great man. As far as I know, he was a Christian, but there could be debate about that. Nevertheless, he was certainly a very good man. But what was George Washington over? Was he over a state, or was he over the limited constitutional republic, a government set up in the United States as we were founded as a union of states? I think it was the latter. He was not running a proactive show. George Washington did not redistribute income from one person to another. He did not tell people how to live as a big brother would. He did not, with the exception of the post office, which was ingrained in the Constitution as a mistake, he did not try to privatize or make public enterprise out of industry. He was not running a state. So in both your examples, I'm going to say they don't apply because they're not talking about state leaders. And you say, well, that's how do you know then, you can tell between which is a state and which is government. There was hardly ever a time in history we've actually had just government. There are a few occasions we can point out in Iceland and Novgorod, a part of Russia, pre-Norman England, and a few other places. The vast majority of places, 95% of countries in the world, have had states. They have not had constitutionally limited governments. And so, in fact, when Paul and Peter are writing, they're talking to people who lived under states. So that's my answer to both of those. It says, he continues on to say, Corey continues on to write, "I think the confusion lies in your making distinction between states and governments." Okay. "This is a difficult distinction for people to make, and with little doubt, the layperson who has not studied, as you have, cannot make such a distinction. To the vast majority of folks, government will always be identified as a state. There are the two are one and the same to the general populace. I've chosen not to tackle such a difficult educational challenge and rather leave it to you, if you don't mind," with a smiley face there. "It seems you would likely ascribe Washington as a minister of government. That definition I can accept. But what of King David and perhaps Jehoshaphat? also ministers or government leaders of a state. In fact, for my benefit, please describe the difference again, because clearly godly men have ruled in governments throughout history. What about Jefferson Davis? No, I don't like him, by the way. Anyway, but a more recent example would be Chief Justice Roy Moore, although not the executive head of government. Okay, I have to run. Keep up the good work, my friend, Corey. And we're going to comment on some more of Corey's words here when we come back from the break. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npprose.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview this morning, talking about a very important subject here about the difference between states and governments. And it is very true, by the way, what Corey says, it's difficult for people to make a distinction between the state and government. And if this is one of the tricks that Satan uses, this is one of the tricks that those who are the left and liberal persuasion use to confuse us. And it's not just about states and governments. They do this all the time about all sorts of other things. Entitlement programs, of course, are maybe one of the biggest things that we talk about in public policy. But you might think of other things that are confusing terms, a little bit of truth mixed in with lies, so to speak, whether it be evolution, for instance, is another good example of how this mixture occurs that confuses us. There is no question that microevolution occurs. Biological microevolution, that is, you have rats or moths changing their colors or types over time to adapt to their environment. That is pretty clear. There is a metamorphosis that goes on. What you do not have is macroevolution, where one species becomes another. And yet it's hard for people to make a distinction between in evolution. They just consider it all evolution, but they have to make a distinction between micro and macroevolution. There's another example. And the list goes on of how these things get melded together and hard to separate. The ideas and principles of the founding fathers were extraordinary, Corey and others who are listening to this conversation. Their principles of the state, or government, I should say, were unlike any other in the history of the world before it, really. You had some semblance of it in the Magna Carta and in what happened in England, but it was really the founding fathers who put together the greatest system of governance we've ever seen in the history of the world. And why was it so great and spectacular? Because it differed so dramatically from the proactive states, which were commonplace in history. Remember, even under the feudal system, they had a system, ancillary system called manorialism. And under manorialism, you actually had to go to your feudal baron or lord or earl or count or whatever he might have been called and ask permission to be married. You actually had to go and get all sorts of behavior approval from your local lord, your liege lord, or your lord of the manor. And even under feudalism that occurred, and it occurs everywhere, it has occurred almost everywhere in the history of the world under states. So we have to make a distinction between common defense, which is what government was all about, the limited protections that are being pursued by the founding fathers, and the mega states which developed to provide all of these other things, whether it be, again, redistribution of wealth, behavior-changing schemes, or helping, quote-unquote, business, or helping science. These kinds of projects, public works, are not things that governments would undertake. They transform it into the realm of a state. So anyway, going back to some of what Corey had to say here, Jehoshaphat was one of the good kings in the southern tribe of Judah, southern part of the kingdom. And Jehoshaphat was a good man. There is, you know, he had some problems, obviously, as they all did. But again, Corey, this is talking about the theocracy. It's a non-repeatable event. I don't believe we can have the theocracy back again. Jefferson Davis, I am not impressed with. I mean, I'm more impressed with him than Lincoln, but that's not saying a whole lot. I mean, Lincoln, to me, was the utmost scoundrel in the history of America, so it's clearly Jefferson Davis was better than him. But Jefferson Davis also practiced conscription. He also enacted the stupid policies of burning up cotton, which is a very proactive measure. He also enacted a paper currency for the South. These are all very evil actions that he did. Moreover, it was Jefferson Davis that told Stonewall Jackson not to cross the Potomac after First Manassas and take off Lincoln's head. The war would have stopped if he didn't make that blunder. So I don't look at this man as being very virtuous. He may have been a Christian. I don't know. I don't know enough about his own personal life to make any judgments about it. I don't know if I know enough about anybody's personal life to make a judgment about their salvation. But I will say that I'm not very impressed with him. He's the one Southern person that I'm not impressed with, I suppose, of all. If I had to pick any of them, Jefferson Davis would not be the top of the list. Justice Roy Moore is also a good man who's tried to do good things in the judiciary. And remember, the judiciary is not... It is part of government. It could be part of the state, depending on how if it actually takes on a proactive legislative role. But it is one of these institutions set up by the founding fathers as part of our government system. We need to have a court system. So I see him outside the legislative and executive powers, which really make a state what a state is: proactive, belligerent, nasty institution that carries on its various decrees and functions. So that's how I differentiate those ones. Those all. Appreciate the question, Corey, and I think it's a great one for food for thought for all of us here at Christian Worldview. Want to remind people of a couple things. First of all, we have a donation drive going on this month. We're hoping that some of you will be able to contribute to the expansion of the Tyranny Response Network signal throughout the upstate of South Carolina and even down to Dorchester County. You can do so simply by going to the policyofliberty.net homepage and clicking on the PayPal buttons there. You can use your Visa or MasterCard or PayPal account, or the homepage of the Tyranny Response Network, which is tyrannyresponse.com. At the bottom, there is an address in Piedmont, P.O. Box 151, for the Tyranny Response Network. And you can send a check there. When you do, make sure to send and include your name and address, because we'd like to send you for gifts above $25 or more, a free copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, that I will personally sign and send to you. We'd really appreciate your support, and that's our way of saying thanks. For those who give over $100 to the ministry and efforts of the Tyranny Response Network, you will receive not only that book, but also Warriors of Honor, the Heritage and Life of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. It's a great video, and it's actually a DVD, and you'll enjoy it. It's great family entertainment. We'll be happy to provide those for you. So please consider generously supporting at this time the Tyranny Response Network so we can help have the message proclaimed in a wider area in the upstate of South Carolina and even down into Dorchester County. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. That's 864-201-6955 or 864-849-0277. You may also email your questions and comments 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net.
And we welcome you back here to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here's a couple announcements for you about the Libertarian Party, June 8th. That's tomorrow night here in Greenville. Or wait, June 8th is today, isn't it? Today is June the 8th, 2005. There's going to be a Liberty Lunch at the Four Seasons Restaurant on Main Street in Malden from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. I'm going to try to attend that myself, the Tyranny Response Unit. Hope to see you there. Everyone else is invited if you'd like to join up with the Libertarian Party. Also, the Libertarian Party tomorrow night, the Greenville County Libertarian Party and the Upstate Libertarian Society will hold a combined business meeting at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall in Greenville at 6:30 p.m. It goes till 8, and we hope you can attend there as well. In addition to that, on June the 18th in Williamston, there is a 2005 Carolina Day celebration. Join the Upstate Libertarians for their 5th annual Carolina Day celebration on Saturday, June 18th in Williamston's Mineral Spring Park. And it's a real tradition that they started up here, a 21st century edition that's gone on for a number of years up here in the upstate of South Carolina. Hope you can attend. All right, another quick announcement. Do you long for a return to constitutionally limited government originally given us by our founding fathers but feel powerless to make it happen? Are you disgusted with the immorality legislated from Washington and forced upon us by federal judges? Do you wish there were more people who felt the way you do? Well, ChristianExodus.org shares your beliefs. Our members are Christian constitutionalists just like you, and we're working on in South Carolina to elect godly men who refuse to obey illegal federal court rulings, just as Judge Roy Moore did in Alabama. Our forefathers lit the path to liberty. Now our sons depend upon our success today. Please join with us at www.christianexodus.org. And we appreciate that announcement. If you missed any announcement as you're driving along and you need to have some details, you might have missed something, didn't have something to write down the web address or whatnot, you can go to our website, which is tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com, and you will be able to locate the addresses and time, meeting times and phone numbers, web links and so forth for each of the events we mention here on the show. So by all means, have at it. Have at that web page. It's a very useful thing, a very useful tool for us to have. Well, I wanted to also mention to Corey, actually, since we were bringing up this subject again, and he mentioned something about governments versus states. It seems pretty easy when we look at anything outside of the theocracy, which was very proactive, obviously, trying to enforce God's law, you know, and in a very concise way in Israel. That's a totally separate case, in my mind. But when you can carve out men like maybe even Alfred the Great, but probably just men like Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, James Madison, George Washington, the founding fathers who actually had a limited government in this country, you can see a marked difference between their rule, their leadership, and the leadership of virtually all other so-called statesmen, what became turned into these degenerative state functions that ended up harming people so much. At any rate, I think, Corey, just looking at the men themselves, it's a pretty easy division that can be made rather than an arbitrary one between states and governments, and I think that's part of the power of what Nock helped us to realize when he wrote his work. Okay. What else do we have on the docket for today? Well, here's a for immediate release from gunlaws.com. Arizona has enacted a gun safety bill for children that breaks new ground. Worth one credit towards a high school diploma, the course requires students to safely discharge a firearm at a target to pass. American high schools used to have firing ranges in the basement, but the tradition began fading in the late 1960s. Gun rights proponents believe that training and education leads to increased safety and responsible behavior. The bill's designers, concerned that gun safety could be turned up into gun avoidance by gun control politics, included statutory rules that the shoot safely requirement to prevent an unintended change. Other requirements include instruction in the role of firearms in preserving peace and freedom, and the constitutional roots of the right to keep and bear arms, the history of firearms and marksmanship, the basic operation of firearms, and practice time at a shooting range, and more. Well, isn't that interesting that Arizona's got this bill? Let's follow that one closely. It's nice to see that such a thing is going to occur. Of course, I'm not sure how far it'll get in a public school system. I have my doubts, as you know, about the veracity of public school systems, the integrity of public school systems as far as promoting the truth and righteousness. But nevertheless, take that for what it's worth. This is what's happening in Arizona. They have enacted this gun safety bill, and we'll see what actually goes on with it. Okay, we have media appearances for Marshall Fritz. Marshall Fritz is, of course, the leader of the Alliance for Separation of School and State, and they've announced he's scheduled to be interviewed on Tulsa Radio by Michael Del Giorno and Gwen Freeman, why Americans should stop trying to fix public schools and should separate school from government at all levels. You can listen to this radio broadcast if you're interested at www.1170kfaq. That's www.1170kfaq.com, and it's at 6:10 Pacific Time and 9:10 Eastern Time today. So if you get a chance to listen to that, hope you can. Oh, actually, this might end up being it's on right now with our show. Well, we don't want you to leave with the Christian Worldview program, so we wanted to let you know it was there. Maybe you can get the recording from Marshall Fritz. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. We're going to jump to a quick break right now, and we'll be back after the top of the hour.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Marquis de Sade said, Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We welcome you back here to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Just a reminder, our phone numbers today are 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. Or the backup line, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Well, the weather today in the upstate of South Carolina looks like we're going to have currently around 70 degrees, going to get up to a high of about mid-80s, depending on where you are. It could be the high 80s. Of course, every time they tell you it's going to be in the 80s, it's actually in the 90s. Yesterday was no exception. Once again, they predicted it would be in the mid-80s and was in the mid-90s. So you can probably prepare for a hot day tomorrow, or excuse me, today as you make your way out. Chance of showers and thunderstorms today, once again, in about half of the Greenville or upstate area. So you can be prepared for that as you make your way out. Most likely not going to have too much activity with showers again, but it's possible. Okay, other stories in the news today. What else is happening here? You know, before I go on, I want to remind people to go to tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net provide all sorts of great information for those who are listeners of our program, including folks or the events of the upstate. We have under the events tab, if you go to the tyrannyresponse.net website, you'll find all sorts of events going on that are planned here in the upstate, including the Libertarian Party's events, the events of the Institute on the Constitution, which occurs every Monday evening, and will be going on for the next several weeks. Under the related media tab, you'll find things including the Times Examiner and other related newspaper and other articles we use here on the show, in the Nationalist Times and the First Freedom. Now, we have a caller here on the line, and we want to switch over to take the phone call. Welcome to the show. Who are we speaking to? Hang on a second. We're having trouble getting you on the air here. All right, welcome to Christian Worldview. Can you hear us now?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. Well, I wanted to make sure you could hear us. All right. We'd like to welcome you to the show. Who am I speaking with? Hello, Gene. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Enjoy the show.
Thanks so much. What's on your mind today?
Well, I read a newspaper article yesterday, just a small article in the Greenville News, about a female police officer in Charleston who had quit filing her income tax, and she was arrested. And her defense is that she said it was unconstitutional.
Right.
Now, is she sinning? Is she correct? The State Department of Revenue said that defense doesn't work too often in the courts, but we'll just have to wait and see. What's your position on that?
Well, I think this is a touchy issue to some extent, but as far as I can tell, there is a very good reason to believe that people who are filing income tax returns don't really have a requirement to file. Now, I'm not a lawyer and an expert in this area of law, but from what I understand, from what I've read, many people have been led to file tax returns that in reality have not had to do so because they treated their income as if it, or their earnings as if it's privileged income, and therefore I think she has an argument to make, a case that she can make that she's obeying the Constitution and doing what's right. If we can actually say that much, I think we are not sinning. If indeed there's a constitutional reason for doing what we do that supersedes any actions of subordinate government or civil servants, then I think we can do so without sin. In general. Now, if we end up finding out that the Constitution's been voided by these other men and that we in reality just live under the nostalgia of the Constitution, then you might make a case, well, the fact of law is that you have to file these returns, and if you don't, you're going to cause grief, you know, and God's not going to be glorified, you're going to bring hassles to the church, you're going to have all sorts of problems in life, and therefore it might be a sin on that account. However, one can also take a moral stance and say, even if we didn't have a constitution, I'm going to go out of my way to take a stand for righteousness in this land against the evil state and its pernicious rule. Now, that's a little bit more dubious a circumstance from a Christian point of view, but I leave people to their liberty of conscience if they decide that they can do that and take that act of civil disobedience and continue forward in their Christian faith. Now, let me just to draw this into another analogy to help perhaps Gene the understanding here. Let's suppose there was a law passed by the legitimate government that prohibited South Carolinians from spanking their children and forcing them at the same time to send them to public schools. They couldn't homeschool anymore. I think a Christian could, in good conscience, rebel, revolt, resist, whatever you want to use, whatever term you use, against that rule and say, we're still going to discipline our children at home because it's more important for us to obey God than men. So even though it would be a law, so to speak, or actually it's legislation, I think it could be violated and Christians would not have to submit to it because they'd be sinning by doing so. So if a Christian were to say, I think the income tax is required to be paid by everybody, but in doing so, I'm sinning against God because I'm supporting abortion and some other things, and therefore I'm not going to do it. I leave it to his liberty of conscience to decide whether or not that's the right or wrong thing to do.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? As far as a Charleston cop goes, I put her in one of those two categories. I don't think she's in sin. I think she's making a principled choice, and I don't know enough about the case to know where she actually stands in particular.
She was not apologetic. She just matter-of-factly said, it's unconstitutional. I'm not paying it.
Yeah. Well, I think she's got a very valid case that she can make. A point can be made that it's not that it's unconstitutional in a general sense, or it could be a privilege tax applied to privileged income, as the 16th Amendment was intended, according to the Brewshaver case. It's a U.S. Supreme Court case in 1916. But what she's saying, it's unconstitutional for them to force me, who has no privileged income, to be taxed as if I did. And I think she can make that argument and be not only right before God, but probably right legally. Now, will she actually get off the hook, so to speak? Will they actually let her off? I doubt it. Why? Because if they let her off, guess who else is going to line up to be let off?
Oh, everybody would be suing for all the years they paid.
That's right. And so that's why government, it's not very expedient for the state to allow this to go through. They'd do better sweeping it under the rug and trying to let her off privately than trying to get a public precedent for other people to use.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much, John.
Hey, it's a great question. Hey, by the way, Gene, where are you calling from this morning?
Taylor's,
good. Well, we're so glad you joined us on the show, and do call back again sometime.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Sorry, we had folks. I mean, we're still working with our phone system in here, and some folks are having trouble getting through at times, and we had a little bit of difficulty getting Gene on the air. But we're improving here, and as the studio equipment and so forth becomes of greater significance and greater quality, we're hopefully going to end up having even a better opportunity to serve folks in the future. Thanks for the call, Gene. We hope others will again call in. Our phone numbers this morning, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277, or 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And I had a special message come in from Joyce this morning, who coordinates so many activities in the upstates for those who are either pro-life libertarians or true conservatives or anywhere in between or elsewhere for that matter. She wanted to make a note. I'll mention on the air that there is a roundtable discussion on CAFTA. This is one of these so-called free trade agreements, which really has nothing to do with free trade and has everything to do with globalism and socialism and undermining the sovereignty of the of America and our Constitution. At any rate, they're going to have a roundtable discussion on CAFTA on June 13th, that's Monday, at 11 a.m. at Mount Vernon Mills in Malden, and another one at 1:15 at Hartness International, which is off of Garlington Road near Pelham Road here in Greenville. She said she called the office and has accepted the invitation. Has anyone else heard about this? Is anyone, or can anyone attend, she wants to know. She believes that somebody needs to be there from the so-called far-right group to be able to not only report on what's happening there, but stand up and be counted in opposition to this movement. Apparently, Bob Inglis, who's a representative from there, is going to be at least one of the meetings, perhaps, if he can make it, and you want to make sure we have our voice heard, you know, standing up against this thing. So if anyone can go on Monday, June 13th at 11 a.m. to Mount Vernon Mills in Malden, or 1:15 p.m. to Hartness International, please do so. The invitation has already been accepted, and you're welcome to go ahead and show up for this roundtable discussion on CAFTA, if you can. All right, well, we haven't actually got to a whole lot of articles today. They've been discussing the entire morning so far about the differences between governments and states. Been an interesting discussion, I think, but we want to move on to a few different news items today. We'll also welcome your calls, and if anything you want to talk about, as usual, we'll be happy to do so here on the Christian Worldview Show. Well, Britain is suspending its vote on a charter, the Washington Times reporting from London. The British government, defying demands by the French and German leaders, yesterday suspended indefinitely plans for a national referendum next year on the European Union's floundering constitution. In the wake of last week's emphatic rejection of the document by voters in France and the Netherlands, Foreign Secretary Jack Straw told Parliament that it would not, in our judgment, now be sensible to go ahead with a similar vote in Britain. "We are in uncertain times," said a spokesman for the Prime Minister, Tony Blair, "and we do not proceed till we have gotten certainty." Oh, really? When is it not uncertain times? This is kind of nonsense doublespeak that politicians come at. Nobody knows the future except God. Although, us Christians, we know something, don't we, about the future. We know Christ will return to set up his glorious reign forever. We know the world will come to a culmination in God's good timing. But as far as us knowing the actual events before then, it's always an uncertainty for us. We don't know if a tsunami is going to hit, or a World Trade Center is going to blow up, or a president will be assassinated, or any other number of things that might go on. We don't know it. It's impossible for us to know as mere mortals. At any rate, President Bush and Mr. Blair are to meet in the White House today and are expected to announce a joint initiative costing the United States $674 million to help an estimated 14 million people threatened by famine in Africa. So, not a good thing that we're getting Blair over here to help Bush spend more money on things. Not that we have any lack of sympathy for people that are threatened by famine, but because we realize from the Christian worldview point of view, it's not only is it not the job of the state to provide welfare. The state does an inefficient job doing it, and an ineffective job doing it. Most of the money that goes to these countries gets pocketed by the leaders rather than actually going to the people who need it. So we're not very impressed with that. Not only that, but it's really not the right and role of government to be providing welfare in general. It's theft. When you take my, if I'm walking down the street, as Walter Williams used to use this famous example, and I see as I'm walking down the street a man who's hungry and destitute, and I have some compassion on that man, if I then go and take my gun and walk up to the next good citizen I see walking by, hold them up, say, "Give me $100," and the guy force the guy to give me the $100, and then walk over and give it to the poor man, I have not done an act of charity. It's wrong to steal money from one person in order to do a charitable deed and give it to somewhere else. And that's exactly what the state does. It robs people. People are taxpayers in America. It robs them and gives the money for a charitable cause elsewhere. It's not the role of the state to behave in this manner, and it's a wickedness, whether it's a tsunami or a famine or anything else. Who can take care of those victims? Private individuals. There's nothing wrong with that guy with the $100 bill walking down the street to walk up to the poor person himself, pull it out of his pocket, and give it to the poor person. That's private charity. It's not wrong for me to approach that person and say, "Look, you know, I have a gun in my pocket, but I'm not going to use it to hold you up. I just want to ask you, out of the kindness of your heart, will you give this man $100 so he can not starve to death?" There's nothing wrong with me trying to persuade you, you see, to give your $100. But it's very wrong for me to steal it from you under the guise of doing some good work and then actually contributing to somebody else's money to someone else. That's a wrong thing to do, and that's exactly what the states are all about. All right, there's a U.S. study from the Washington Post. The U.S. leads in mental illness and lags in treatment. Interesting to know. One quarter of all Americans met the criteria for having mental illness within the last year. Wait, maybe that's my problem. I've got right-wing mental illness. maybe somebody else does out there as well. The Founding Fathers probably did. Remember, we're all gang members, too. That fellow that came in from the Greenville County gang force came in to talk to us about what constitutes a gang, and he said it has to be two or three people with a common stated purpose and engaged in some criminal activities. And I raised my hand and I said, "Well, you would have classified then the Founding Fathers as a gang, two or three, common purpose, and engaged in a criminal activity." Well, as far as the king was concerned, they were engaged in treason and destruction of private property at the Boston Tea Party and so forth. And he said, "Yeah, The Founding Fathers would have been a gang, as far as we're concerned. And I said, well, count me in as a gang member then, because that's where I'm at as well. And he kind of chuckled at that. But interestingly enough, I think we are going to be all considered gang members. Well, at any rate, this is basically saying that the disease like schizophrenia has been roughly flat in the past decade, but now it's continuing down the surge again. Psychiatrists and health professionals are worried about it. They've done a recent survey focusing on the major categories of mental illness, anxiety disorders such as panic and post-traumatic stress disorders, mood disorders such as major depression and bipolar disease, impulse control disorders such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and substance abuse. Almost half of Americans meet the criteria for such illness at some point in their lives. Oh, really? The survey found most cases are mildly and probably not and do not require treatment. Whatever. Immigrants quickly increase their risk of mental health problems by coming here, it says. That sounds dubious to me. I'm really skeptical about it all. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Look forward to having you back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
It may interest you to know that there is a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of this show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/First Freedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You will find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month, that's tomorrow night, at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, just join us for the Libertarian Meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Our phone numbers this morning here at the show are 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. The backup line also working today, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. 55. A couple more news stories want to cover here of interest, I think, to those holding or espousing the Christian worldview. Just looking from Fox News' website this morning, we have Bolivia planning an emergency session of Congress. Now remember, Bolivia is a country, landlocked country in South America, where the per capita income, or the average monthly income, I should say, of 98% of the people who live there is about $55 or $60 per month. And we're talking about poor people. I've been to the country, and there are some wealthy people and some people that do real well in the upper middle class area in La Paz and Santa Cruz and places like that. But for the most part, people are very poor. And one of the reasons they're poor is because they have a very bungling government socialist policy. Well, here at La Paz, Bolivia, lawmakers planned an emergency session to fulfill a power vacuum after the president's resignation, hoping to quell violent street protests by the country's poor Indian majority, intent on wresting power from the wealthy white ruling class. President Carlos Mesa, a U.S.-backed free market supporter. Now, do you really think that the U.S. backs free market supporters? I'm sorry, but I don't. And we're not talking about free markets here in the United States. We're talking about something in between. Well, it's mostly a socialist system, but not quite as socialist as other systems have been. At any rate, he survived only 18 months in office before offering to step down Monday, his government buckling in the face of weeks of protest by a coalition of Indians, miners, and union members. Even more socialist people, no question about that. The resignation expected to be put to vote in Congress on Thursday could ultimately usher in new elections, raising the prospect of Bolivia becoming the seventh Latin America to move to the leftist government opposed to U.S. policies in the region. So there are now one right even on the Chilean border, where you have a socialist president who's guarded. He's a soft socialist, so he's not a real hardcore one. But nevertheless, that country still holding to free markets is going to be accosted now to the north by Bolivia going towards the left as well. Interesting item of news. We'll need to keep following that here on the Christian Worldview program. In addition to that, we have Fox News reporting that Chief Justice Rehnquist sees setbacks in states' rights. In what may be his last term, Chief Justice William H. Rehnquist's legacy of limiting the federal government's reach has been tarnished as the states' rights coalition he nurtured for more than a decade splinters on some major issues. The latest example is a Supreme Court decision that a federal marijuana ban trumps state laws legalizing the drug for seriously ill. This is a rather stupid ruling that said that people who are about ready to die, or terminally ill people, the only way they can possibly keep food down is to take marijuana. They can't do it. This is just ridiculous. At any rate, this is what the Supreme Court decided, and it does trump the 10th Amendment. Why would the federal court be able to dictate local policy and rules that should be left to the states? And it is a very sad day, and of course most days in American politics are sad days, but this is another example of a sad day in American politics when this kind of ruling has come down. And this, we're not talking about people just generally smoking pot here. We're talking about terminally ill people. You know, who cares? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you actually going to prosecute some of these people and put them in jail so they can die in jail? Bunch of nonsense. I'm sure they're going to go ahead and smoke at any rate, but this just shows the idiocy of the federal government, as if we didn't already know that it was idiocy in the federal level. Fox News also reports the Senate panel is okaying the Patriot Act revisions. Oh, another one near and dear to our heart. Associated Press in Washington reports the FBI would get expanded powers to subpoena records without the approval of a judge or grand jury on terrorism investigations under the Patriot Act revisions approved Tuesday by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Some senators who voted 11-4 to move the bill forward said they would push for limits on the new powers and the measure would grant to law enforcement agencies. This bill must be amended on the floor to protect the national security while protecting constitutional rights. Oh, really? That's a joke. I mean, it ruins constitutional rights, and they're claiming it actually protects them. Says Senator Barbara Mikulski, a Democrat from Maryland. Ranking Democrat Jay Rockefeller, oh, that's a good name, Democrat from West Virginia, supported the bill overall, but said he would push for limits that would allow such administrative subpoenas only if immediacy dictates. So now you don't even have to go to court to get a subpoena. You simply go with an immediacy necessity, and you just go ahead and search and seizure without having the court give you a writ, first of all. So basically violating more of the Constitution here. The Senate is okaying it. It's time to pull these traitors out, impeach them. Who could say that we'd be wrong to use our Second Amendment rights right now to march up there and shoot these guys? I mean, what else can you do with these kind of tyrants when they're actually avoiding the Constitution on its face and telling us that they're actually upholding the Constitution? Bunch of liars, bunch of thieves, bunch of thugs. That's what comprises the United States Senate right now. Sorry if I'm not mincing my words well enough, or maybe I'm mincing them too well for some of your tastes, but this is just an appalling, disgusting thing as we see the American Constitution torn down by Congress, who were sworn to uphold it there in the Senate. Just absolutely appalling things that go on here in America, it seems. Okay, well, we're coming up close to a quick break on Christian Worldview. I'm going to make a quick announcement before we do so, and that's that this month we're trying to raise money for the Tyranny Response Network. The Tyranny Response Network would like to expand its signal to other places in the upstate of South Carolina, as well as down to Dorchester County and Charleston. If you can help this month, there's a special offer being given. $25 or more, you'll get a free copy, as our way of saying thanks, signed by me, of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. Gifts over $100 will also receive the Warriors of Honor video, the DVD, free, and just as our way of saying thanks. You can donate by either going to the tyrannyresponse.com website and sending a check off to the address at the bottom of the page. That's P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina. Or you can go to the policyofliberty.net website, the homepage, and scroll down to the buttons for PayPal, and they allow you to use the online payment service or your Visa or MasterCard. So please consider supporting with a small contribution the Tyranny Response Network. Every small gift helps. It actually adds up, folks. So please do support us, and with several thousand dollars of donations now, the Tyranny Response Network should be able to go forward and provide great signal quality and transmission here in the upstate. We hope that you'll support it. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion.
an evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, you've got the low 70s. There's some patchy fog here and there, maybe a little bit left. And there's a chance for showers here and there in the upstate this morning. But in general, a nice day, and it's going to be quite warm into the mid-80s. And you can read that to probably mean mid-90s today. And as it heats up again, probably an increased chance for thunderstorm activity in the afternoon. So as you make your way out to work, you should have a pleasant day. A little bit of moisture, perhaps, but not too much. Well, we're glad you joined us here at Christian Worldview. We've had a lot of interesting topics on the agenda this morning, and reading some news items, also talking about the Christian Worldview of how one handles income taxes. We had a good call about that from Gene, as well as the Christian Worldview of states and how to deal with states versus constitutionally ordained governments, constitutional republics. What is the difference between them? We talked about that. Glad we could have those conversations here on the radio station. Where else do you get that opportunity to think so deeply as you do here at Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben? Well, we've got a number of stories that the research staff have sent up to me, and I'd like to try to get to some of those. First of all, I had our word for the day. You know, sometimes our research staff runs across a word they like us all to learn. Doesn't mean we remember them all, but we do like to read them on the air. They're somewhat interesting. Word for the day is hodiernal. Hodiernal. H-O-D-I-E-R-N-A-L. Hodiernal is how you pronounce it, I believe. It's an adjective. It means of or pertaining to the present day. So how often do you want to use that in your speech now? Hodiernal. Where do the research staff come up with these words? I mean, they go searching through the dictionary by night, coming up with strange new words for us to use in our vocabulary. Hodiernal. All right. At any rate, Charles Banfield, or Eric Charles Banfield, in February 1995, wrote about the business-government collusion in The Freeman. And he had some excellent comments, and the research staff thought we might read a few of them here on the air. Back when first cutting my teeth on the concepts of free market economics, I was impressed by the argument that business firms have to satisfy their customers to survive. Firms have strong natural disincentives against performing poorly or acting immorally because they would risk losing customers and going out of business for some time thereafter. I defended business on those grounds. Business is not evil, I argued. Indeed, businesses are almost slaves to the shifting and elusive passions of the sovereign consumer. But over the years, I found myself forced to refine my views regarding business firms. Three lessons stand out. First, being pro-business is not the same as being free market. Second, regulation, which presumably works against business, goes hand in hand with special privileges and artificial protections for business. Third, the phenomenon of active and routine collusion between business and government made the business world seem less than the pure and benevolent social agent I once perceived. In short, I began to recognize that the concept of the corporate welfare state goes a long way to describe some of the problems we observe in the complex nexus between the market sector and the government sector. All too often, businesses lobby government for special privileges they would not have in a true free market. Well, this is a very good point. I'm going to read a couple more comments here and then make an economic lesson for us for the day. What is pro-business? Well, as he learned over the years, pro-business ideals are too often inconsistent with free market ideas. There are bailouts. There are subsidized loans. These are all examples of privilege. There are monopoly privileges, which are granted, and resource privileges, and outright disincentive subsidies. Trade protection is another example of a privilege. Businesses argue for restricted competition at the international level, too. Many large corporations saw the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, as a vehicle for securing compensatory protections and other favors. The administration negotiated concessions for flat glass, durum wheat, home appliances, wine, peanuts, textiles, sugar, and citrus and vegetable interests, and all politically sensitive industries that needed relief. Large businesses have often supported labor, zoning, permit safety, or other regulations designed to keep out low-cost competitors because the bigger firms were already meeting those new requirements anyway. So why not use the legislation, therefore, the regulation, to attack the competitor? When the harm comes to consumers and taxpayers is considered, however, that the claim of morality is hard to defend. This really is not good for America to have regulation. Ethical business should sink or swim on their own without any help or harm from the government. That is, the proper pro-business stance is negative. That is, the state should leave me alone. A positive stance, the state should do me a favor, is improper. Those favors or privileges would not exist in a true free market without government intervention. They can be granted only at the expense of others, taxpayers, consumers, or other businesses. Tax breaks, are they subsidies? Some privileges or exemptions are slippier to define. A good example is tax breaks. It remains an open question among free marketeers if industry lobbies for and receives an extra tax deduction that some other industries don't get, whether or not that runs counter to free market principles. Some would argue that anybody who can get a tax break from burdensome government taxation should accept it and should feel no moral guilt about keeping money from a wasteful, corrupt bureaucracy. Also, as one of my colleagues explained, every dollar in tax revenue leads to $1.83 in new spending. Every dollar you keep from the government, therefore, prevents another 83 cents in deficit borrowing. Tax breaks are a moral and economic good. Others would argue on the basis of equal protection of the laws that the tax breaks should go to all industries. If not, they should be opposed. Seeking and accepting a special tax break is unethical. The article goes on and talks about the Wall Street Journal editorial talking about industry subsidy game and how it works where people go and seek these sorts of things. Well, this is an important article. I'm going to read a little bit more of it when we come back for our break, because it's important for us as Christians and lovers of liberty to understand just how regulation works, and this is a good economics lesson for us this morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict
the comfortable.
Just a reminder, our phone numbers this morning, 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. If you have a question or comment for the show, you can also try 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Look forward to hearing from you here on Christian Worldview if you have a comment or a question for the show. You can also send your questions by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. Well, we've been talking about the use of regulation and the promotion of it by business. And some people are appalled to think that regulation might be promoted by business. Well, if you think about it, it makes a whole lot of sense. Let's suppose as a firm trying to maximize its profit, you're given the choice for how to spend the $5 million you have to attract new consumers to buy your product. It's a budget that you have of $5 million, and you're going to go out and try to get consumers to buy more of your product so you can make greater profits. Well, one choice would be to go and advertise. And you would go to the radio, you'd go to television, go to newspapers, and you would advertise your product and try to get people to buy it by persuasion. You could use other methods of advertising, and that might be effective or it might not. Another way might be to simply hire a couple of very prominent PhDs or lawyer types who would go set up an office in Washington and begin a full-time occupation of lobbying congressmen to get special regulation that happens to favor your firm or your industry. By doing so, you can end up spending the whole $5 million on parties for these congressmen, providing meals for them, and providing other perks for congressmen, and in order for the opportunity to get their ear and talk to them about the policies that you want to be passed, how business should be regulated, whether it be something as simple as what color should be painted on a taxi cab, or whether or not a downspout coming from a truck, a milk truck or an oil truck or anything else, should come down on the left or to the right. If you happen to have all yours coming down to the left, you might not want legislation to say that it has to come down on the right. But if you know your competitors do, and you have yours on the left, and it'll be very costly for them to change to right to left, you might go ahead and use the government to attack your competitors. So regulation can be used as a means of attacking competitors in a very logical, rational economic choice when you have a proactive state that's engaging in behavior modification policies, big brother policies. Look out for regulation. Another thing that regulation can be, or lobbyists can do, is use regulation as a defense. When regulations come up that would attack them, they can try to impose new regulations that curtail the attack, or actually you can eliminate parts of regulation that would be vicious to your particular firm by sending your own group of highly paid PhDs and lawyer types to Washington to set up their office and start their own political action committee. This is what we see happening, and this is why there are over 19,000 special interest groups around the Washington, D.C. area, people who have pretty kickback jobs, in a sense, of just trying to spend other people's money on lobbying Congress, either to create new legislation to attack competitors or to shield their company from the attacks, the governmental attacks from other competitors. So are people just vying for control through the political powers, and that's their whole job. This kind of thing is what the article we've been reading is talking about, a new look at regulation. As Christians, we need to be wise to regulation and what it's set up for. Regulation is usually not set up for what it says, that is the public interest, but it is set up for some other business purpose, either to attack competitors or to, in some way, hinder the market economy in favor of one firm's getting a monopoly profit. So they can get more profits for themselves, or they can use the regulation to attack a competitor. Well, here in a new look at subsidies section of this article, Eric Charles Banfield continues, whether tax breaks are improper privileges or not, they seem increasingly unpragmatic or impractical, even to policymakers. Some mayors of large cities abhor the idea that politicians can create jobs by handing out temporary tax bribes to companies to spur a city's economic activity. The Heartland Institute wrote, there is a growing consensus among experts and the general public that tax abatements and subsidies are an unsound investment. Not really an investment at all. Businesses, too, are learning those tax breaks can backfire. A Michigan judge recently barred General Motors Corporation from closing its Ypsilanti assembly plant on the grounds that General Motors' acceptance of Michigan's tax abatement program was a promissory estoppel, a contract or implied promise to keep the facility operating in exchange for relief in its taxes. Tax breaks have strings attached. Perhaps business managers will think twice before looking at tax subsidies as some free lunch. Despite a little difficulty with defining privilege, we can say that regulation and privilege are two sides of the same coin, and to extend the analogy, performing the regulation-privilege coin trick requires a balancing act and a vicious cycle. All large industries now face regulations and privileges. If the restrictions cost more than the privileges are worth, the industry suffocates, leaving nothing to tax or regulate. The value of the privileges exceeds the cost of the restrictions, and the industry takes advantage, and abuses occur for which regulators are blamed. Balance is crucial. If regulators take the heat, they impose more regulations. But if they hurt industry profits, the industry in turn complains to regulators, legislators, and staffers. The government, instead of removing the restrictions, offers privileges to offset or compensate for the regulatory burdens. But these privileges lead to excesses and abuses, which lead to more call for re-regulation, and the cycle continues. It gives a classic example of the SNL industry. Skipping on in the article, he says, basically businesses get entrenched in the process. Once regulated, an industry opens an access window to the political process via lobbyists and trade associations. After all, it must defend itself against bad regulations. So the thing is that he suggests is we need to just scrap all the regulations that serve little more of this toll gates for graft. And for that matter, we could probably just get rid of all of the regulations in general. Well, the article's too long to read it all, even though the Tyranny Response Network staff would like me to read the whole thing. I would just say that we could summarize what we've said with what we have already talked about here. Regulation is used by proactive states to harm businesses and to help other particular businesses by giving them monopoly profits or to attack competitors, and that's your economics lesson for the day. Beware of government regulation, thinking in your own thinking when you're voting on it or considering public policies regarding regulation of business. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to the last segment of Christian Worldview this 8th day of June, 2005. The phone lines are still open to 864-849-0277, 864-849-0277, or 864-201-6955. You can also email questions or comments to questions at policyofliberty.net. Make sure to visit the tyrannyresponse.com website and find all the details of the events and things that we mentioned, including the Times Examiner. 268-0576 is the phone number to call Bob Diller to get your subscription for $25 a year, $27 a year out of state, or to place an ad in that great paper. You can also call David, who's hoping to place some ads for the Times Examiner. You can reach David at 864-244-6464, 864-244-6464. Make sure you give him a call and see if you can place an ad in the Times Examiner. So go to the tyrannyresponse.com website. You'll find all sorts of information there and helpful ideas. We have a caller on the line. We want to go right ahead over and take your call since we're close to the end of the show. Who am I speaking to?
Hello.
Hello. Hey, we got to get you on the mic here. Hang on just a quick second. Welcome to the show. Try again. Who am I speaking with? Okay. Just a moment, Gina. We have a problem getting you on the air. We need to switch our microphone over to you. Sometimes we have some microphone trouble here in the studio. Try that again. Welcome to the show. Gina is your name? Hello? All right. Well, we've lost the caller. Gina, if you get a chance to call back, please do again. Sometimes one of our microphones in the studio here seems to fail and it does not able to pick up a phone call. We had this call problem earlier, so we'd like to welcome you back to give a call in and try again. If you can't get through on the main line again or the number you just called, try the 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. Well, I had the research staff send in something very controversial some time ago. I thought we might talk about a bit about open borders and this idea of many folks of what open borders might be. It's a controversial topic, especially for those who are supporters of the show. I thought we might mention it a little bit. Bill Richer says, "What do open borders mean? President Bush and most Republicans and Democrats want our borders open. They justify the open border with reasons such as immigrants providing more votes or taking American jobs. I won't do. But then they are pushing for more visas like H-1Bs to bring more foreigners to replace the high-tech American workers. Bush once said, all Americans have to do is take a little extra course or two to compete. In other words, he wants Americans to compete with the world, not only for American high-tech jobs, but for every job in the USA. They also are outsourcing many jobs overseas and taking with them high technology and personal data. Americans can easily be used to steal identities and money." All right, well, so what does open borders mean? Well, according to this article by Richer, one, it means that Republicans and Democrats are working together for global government. This makes them one party. Two, it means that the FTAA, which calls for open borders from the bottom of South America at the top of Alaska, is being pushed ahead of a time even before it is voted on. It means that President and Congress do not care about what 80 to 90% of American people think. They act as if we are not here. It means that Homeland Security is a farce and a waste of money as long as the borders are open. It's like fishing with a net and with a huge hole in it. It was even said recently they have a huge amount of money not even used. What are they doing? Five, it means that the King George we get rid of in the Revolutionary War is back. Six, it means that the President and Congress are both Republican and Democrat parties no longer follow the U.S. Constitution. Seven, it means that sovereignty of the United States borders is at least in question and that at most we have none. Eight, it means that since sovereignty is in question, is the United States dissolved? Nine, it means the United States is dissolved. The war on terror must be a phony war. Ten, it means the military that is fighting overseas, that says it is fighting for this country, may not have a country. Our military has been blinded by false patriotism. Also, there are questions about experimental shots and depleted uranium are taking its toll on our men and women in uniform. 11, it means any draft should be flatly refused. We should instead join civilian militias or Minutemen-like groups in our states. 12, it means that new masters of the government are the banks and the corporations. The government now is only a criminal element with a flag on the wall for false patriotism. All right, he goes through about 30 different reasons. Actually, let me see how many he's got. 32 different reasons. And he's carrying on his logical conclusion. Well, I don't think this has anything to do with the traditional open borders argument. I think what libertarians, and I don't advocate a pure open borders position myself, but libertarians typically have the idea is, look, border controls themselves are just means to stop people from working wherever they want to. If Americans want to work elsewhere, we can't, and they want to work here, they can't. The problem is that open borders does not simply mean being able to get a job. It implies all sorts of things about the welfare state and people coming here to this country from elsewhere, either being criminals or terrorists, which is a whole problem in and of itself, or just to get the benefits of the regulated emergency rooms having children here, or regulated welfare benefits from either handouts or through the public school system. And so this is really the problem with open borders. If we actually had no welfare state and no regulation, then people coming across here would have no incentive to do so unless they thought they could get a job, assimilate with the culture, learn the language, as they did at Ellis Island, or coming in through Los Angeles, as one set of my grandparents did. They went right to Los Angeles and immigrate there, learn the language, get a job, start at the bottom, work your way up, be ambitious, those kinds of things. We really don't have a problem with that, at least in my opinion. It's never been a problem in America before. What makes things problematic is when folks can come here without assimilating into our culture and can abuse American taxpayers by taking advantage of welfare state benefits. These things cause tremendous problems in America, and indeed just to cause all the things he's mentioned here about the loss of sovereignty and so forth. So I guess I'm left after reading this with somewhat agreement and somewhat disagreement. I think it's a difficult and complex issue, a lot more than just saying, well, we need government to close borders. We just can't do it because government has already been the failure to begin with. Any rate, well, I've already made a few people I know upset because I've talked about immigration again. But, oh, well, there'll be a few things here and there that some people will have to put up with at the Tyranny Response Unit's commentary. I wanted again, we're not going to get a chance to. We're right at the end of the show here. It looks like we had an email come in from Nelson. We'll read it tomorrow about some of George W. Bush's problems with sexual perversion and stuff like that were brought up on yesterday's show, and his wife for that matter. And so we'll bring that up again tomorrow's show. So far today, we've been very glad that you've been listening to us. Want to remind you again to visit the tyrannyresponse.com website. Support the show if you can, and support especially the Tyranny Response Network signal as it goes out in different parts of the upstate by going to the homepage of tyrannyresponse.net or policyofliberty.net. Remember the special for free books and free DVDs for contributions of over $25 or over $100 this month. And we hope you'll take advantage of that and support this great effort in promoting liberty and truth here in the upstate of South Carolina. So then, we'll be signing off for today. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview, wishing you blessings on your day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Now, the title of my first talk this afternoon is The Growth of Government in the United States. In his book, which is now almost 50 years old, A Christian View of Men and Things, Clark comments that the growth of government is the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. And there are lots of tragedies.